too would like to greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name. I go to my question again. Who preached last Sunday?
Daryl.
And on what? What was his title? Okay, sound speech, which is above reproach. The thing that stood out to me was, you know, he mentioned something about raising your hand for lying or true or false. And that got me to thinking, in my life, I had a wonderful grandma, and she emphasized extremely about things that God hates. And I think I shared this before, but she actually zeroed in on my brain hard that God hates a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. God has no time for a liar. And as I get older, I begin to realize the common denominator to pride, lie, and I is what? I. Right. And the thing is, people forget all these things are going to take you to hell. I can't change that. That was God. That's what God says. I have no voice in that. But God doesn't want you to go there. God wants you to find life and light and love. That's what he wants you to find, and that's through Jesus Christ. When I was... Henry, you're the man. Thank you much. The thing about lying, there's a couple stories that kind of stand out sometimes. I never went to college. I graduated in high school, but I did not go to college. And some of these schools where you have to do exams, you know, it's kind of a crunch time. And there was these four boys that decided the night before the next day's exam, they decided they're going to take a drive. And they drove off somewhere. It was a little distance. And it just got more involved, and they didn't get back till way late. And the next day came to the professor, and they said, "Hey, well, we had a bad night. We had a flat tire, so we didn't get back in time, and we couldn't." And he was very understanding of that. I said, "That's great. That's fine. No problem." He said, "I know you boys should have had the understanding of how to do this quiz." But he said, "I have a request, and that is, I want you each to go in different rooms, and I'll have a question for you." And after he put him in the room, he asked him which tire went flat. Which tire went flat? Because he realized that they weren't up above the board. The second story goes like this. There was a butcher, and he had one chicken left. And he was coming to the weekend, and he wanted to get rid of it. A guy came in, he wanted this chicken. And he said, "Yeah, he has a chicken." Yeah. And I said, "Well, could you weigh it, see what it weighs?" Yeah, he said, "I think it weighed 3 pounds or something like that." And he said, well, he said, "We're having some extra people come over. It'd be nice to have a bigger one." Okay, so he went back. And somehow he adjusted something on the scales some way or another, and he brought this chicken back, and he weighed 3.5 pounds or 4 pounds. And the man said, "That's good." He said, "I'll take both of them." So what I'm driving at, my grandma said, God hates a lying tongue. Lying does not pay. It gets you into trouble. We need to be honest. We need to be upfront. I mean, if he would have just said, "Hey, I only have one chicken, this is what it is," he would have been miles ahead, because he destroyed his reputation. And these boys, if they would have just been honest and said, "Hey, we didn't pay attention to the time and we goofed off too much." But just be honest, because your honesty goes a long way in connecting with people, People have a higher respect for you when you're honest. So God hates a lying tongue. But the sad thing, when you start lying, you know, other things enter in, such pride, and it's all about me. When Facebook came out, which I never got involved with Facebook, I'm old school, but I remember, I think it was Donald Brekbo was here, and he said, it was like, Facebook was me. And as soon as he said that, I knew this is wrong. That's how I felt. But, and I'm not saying you're wrong if you're on Facebook. I don't want to go there, because I want you to make sure you do what God wants you to do. But I think God hates pride. He hates lying. He hates a self-centered person, because you're not going to get anywhere with God. All right. The other thing that stood out to me is that this description here is basically describing the world that we live in. It doesn't take too much of a mathematician to realize that the things that are happening around us, whether in the media, in politics, or whatever, that kind of is their premise. They don't have the integrity that they used to have. And to me, it describes the world that we live in. And the thing that strikes me is when we are here in this world, we need to be real Christians. And to be a real Christian, we need to be repentant. I've shared this before, I think. It's empty of self. We always put God first. And we need to love everyone. And what got me on to that is when Abner passed away. When Abner passed away, I was asked to moderate, and it was a pretty big hole in my life when Abner passed. And I was thinking, this describes Abner. He was a real Christian. And the thing that I think that we need to learn from those that have gone before us, to walk in their steps. Do what they have shown us. Because I remember in brothers' meeting, different times, you know, the question was raised, well, what does God think about this? And he's putting God first. And I think when we make choices in our daily routine, you know, making, it was brought this morning, Ed said, choices has consequences. And, you know, when we make a choice, we should be asking the question, what does God want? Not what I want. I don't want to go down this trail, because I don't want to end up down there. So we want to say, what does God want? So, I would like to read a verse in John 14. You can turn to John if you want to. It's just two verses here. John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it also implies here, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, Jesus is he's a key factor to being able to find life and fulfillment and success, etc. And it's only through Jesus that we're going to be able to find this truth. Now, with putting Jesus, when we believe Jesus, we accept Jesus, and we live for Jesus, the world's going to see that there's something different about us, just like being honest. I mean, most people do not speak or live the truth, and that's what God's children are to do. I would like to read a portion of Scripture. There's 14 verses in 2 Peter. If you want to turn to that, I know everybody has. Sometimes we have different versions, but if you guys, I'd like to read the 14 verses in 2 Peter, just to get kind of like the premise of what I want to share. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Remember the fact checkers that Noah was a crazy guy, but all the fact checkers died. They drowned. Said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth the righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The thing that I like to share this morning, I'm not going to be able to cover it all. I guess I read this portion because of the verses here. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It's hard for me to believe that I'm in my 60s, okay? And when I was in my teens, you know, I looked at these 50 and 60-year-old men as old men, and I don't feel old, but I'm here. I can't change it. And the interesting thing is, they talked about end times. They talked about, the Lord's coming. And here we are. You know, a lot of those men have passed on. I went to their viewings. I went to their funerals. And they're not here, and I'm coming up the rank. But what I'd like to talk about, or the title that I've been thinking about for probably a half a year or a year, and that is last days. Last days. This portion is knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. I wanted that for kind of a foundation. But you have to realize what I'd like to turn to or read is 2 Timothy. This is the portion of Scripture that describes more of the characteristics of what's going to be in the last days. And it gets kind of, in my mind, I'm throwing this out as a warning for all of us that we are awake to what's happening. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I I think I'd like to read the chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I would like to look at this description of these people that are in the last days here. So they're going to be lovers of themselves, but like we're, you know, pride, lion, eye. And they're going to be covetous. They're going to want, try and get more material things, more money, whatever. They're going to be covetous. They're going to want things that other people have, which is not right. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be self-exalters. They're going to be proud. They're going to be thinking they are somebody. They're going to be blasphemers. They're going to have no respect for God. They're going to be disobedient to parents. They're going to be headstrong. They're going to be unthankful, ungrateful, unholy, without piety. There's no reverence in their lives. Without natural affections. They're going to be living unnatural affections, such as living with perverts and homosexuals and sodomites and lesbians, etc. That's, I think, the world we're living in. It says truce breakers. In other words, you can't even trust what they say. They're, like we said over here, liars. They're going to be false accusers. They're going to be slandering people. They're going to be just pushing other people down to lift themselves up. They're going to be incontinent. In other words, they're going to have no self-control. They're going to be just living the way they want to live. They're going to be uncivilized. They're going to be savage. They're going to be, like mentioned, they're going to be fierce. They're going to be despisers of good men. Even men who are living right, they're going to be unfriendly to. They're going to be trashing them. And they're going to be reckless, headstrong, rash. They're going to be senseless, conceited, silly, stupid, dumb. The list goes on. They're going to be lovers of pleasure, sensual gratification, having a form of godliness. It's interesting. We live in an America where a lot of there's people that they call themselves Christians, but they really don't know what it's all about. They just take that name because it's just the right thing to do. It looks good, or you know, it puts you in the right place, or it gives you an advantage. I mean, I have people that come to my shop and they ask me where I get this done or get that done, and the reason they ask me is because they want to go somewhere where they know the person's honest, because a lot of shops aren't. Anyway, the thing is, there's a verse here that I really In verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, be not, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And this strikes me from the standpoint, this is a religious person. It's not, you know, an atheist. The thing that strikes me a little bit is this last verse that we're going if I can get it here. Let me just finish reading my little captions here. They're ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. They're going to resist truth. They're going to have corrupt minds. They're going to be reprobate. They're going to be just evil thinking people. They're going to be seducing women. They're going to just mess people up. They're going to be increasing in evil on a continual basis. And then they're going to be deceived. And they are going to be deceiving people. The thing that I would like to try and emphasize here, we're going to go back to the first verse. And that is, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So I was trying to, when you think of perilous, I wrote down here some definitions. It's a time of great danger. It's a time of difficulty. It's a time of hardship. It's a time of stress. It's a time of moral decay. It's a time of rebellion. It's a time of selfishness. It's also a time of false doctrine. We're living in the last days. And it says, be not deceived. Now, I would like to try and help you understand. Okay, I'm not sure how many people fly here or, you know, are a pilot. But I think Clean's not here. But when you would set your autopilot to go somewhere and you are off just a degree, just a little bit, you're going to end up somewhere where you were not planning on going. And the longer you go out there, the further you get away from this direction. And the thing that I realize is that Satan's greatest weapon is not just rebellion, but it's religion that's not true. And my cry is that we don't go down that trail. We don't, for instance, the devil hasn't really changed. In the garden, he said, hath God said. He likes to plant a seed of doubt in our minds that God doesn't. He doesn't mean what he says. You know, he isn't everything. And when you get off that premise, you're going to end up somewhere where you never dreamt you'd be. I mean, I know some people right now that I grew up with, and they are so far out. And I know that back in the early stages, they never would have dreamt they'd be doing what they're doing. And it all goes back to losing your focus, losing your foundation of where you need to be, and that's on truth. Let me give you some interesting thoughts, hopefully. Did you ever hear the saying, God helps those who help themselves? You ever hear that? I did. God helps those who help themselves. Well, is that biblical? There's no verse that says that, I'll tell you that right now. Because God helps the helpless. God helps those that need help. In other words, that mentality, that phrase, is from a humanistic mentality that we are somebody. I can heal myself. I can take care of myself. I am somebody. And that's a trick of the devil. It's getting the needle off focus, and you're going to end up wrong. Trying to think here, Luke 9. I have a couple of verses here. This is Jesus saying, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father and of his holy angels. So, God helps those who help themselves? I don't think so. We need to be honest and humble enough to realize that we need God. It's not us. How about only believe? It's what's in the heart. Only believe. It's what's in the heart. I came out of a church like that. And that church now is so far down the road. They have lesbians, they have homosexuals, they have women preaching. They have left the truth in so many ways. And it was all on the heart. The Bible tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. If something's in the heart, it's going to come out. It's going to show forth in our lives. But Satan would just like to take so much. Satan promotes false security. He likes to present peace without repentance. He would like to present blessing without obedience. Satan would like to have us think no cost, no cross, no commitment. That's what we can do. It doesn't work. That's not God's way. God does not want that. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do we win this battle with Satan? How do we win this battle? And in John 8, it says like this. I'm going to go back to this lie thing because there's a verse here that has stood out to me. It's in John 8, verse 44. It says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." In other words, it's like this. Satan is not just, he is a liar. Everything he says, everything he does is a lie. It's not true, because he said he has no truth in him. The Bible says that. All right, going over here to the verse prior to that, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I have truth. I'm not gonna write it on the board, but this is what truth is. T. Truth is trustworthy. It's something you can trust in. You can go to the bank with it, is what the expression is. Truth, R, it's real. It's something that's alive. It's not dead. It's not something that's past. It's real. It's something that you can grasp hold of and live it out. Truth is you. It's unchanging. It's the same as it was in the creation, as it is now, and it will be in eternity. Truth is unchanging. Truth is thorough. In other words, you're not going to be able to wiggle out of something, because truth is. And last but not least, truth is healing. It will heal us when we apply it and live it in our lives. It gives us fulfillment. So that's what God wants us to, if we put truth, if we know the truth will make us free. Now I have a little illustration I'd like to give you, and I'm not going to get sticky, but children, what is this? What? Anybody? Honey, right. We call it a honey bear, and you know, it's pretty cute. We love honey. Honey is valuable in many, many ways. I think there's people here that use honey probably in more ways than I do. But honey is really good for you. And it's sweet, it's nutritious, it has value. And it's just awesome. Now, the question is, if I don't open it, and I just set it on the shelf, it's going to get dusty, right? Is it going to really help me a lot? Is it going to be beneficial to me? No. If I open it and I take it, I get the benefit, I get the nutrition, I get the enjoyment out of it. It helps me. This bear is a little bit like the Bible. If you don't open it, and you don't taste it, and you don't experience it, you're the loser. You understand what I'm saying? We need to open the Bible. We need to apply the Bible to our lives so that we can then experience the nutrition, the fulfillment, and we will then be able to thwart off Satan's lies because we know the truth. And we need to have it in us so that we can be victors and vibrant Christians for God's glory. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you might help us to realize that you are everything in our lives. We thank you, Father, for thy word. We thank you for the truth you have given to us. We pray, Father, that you might help us to not become distracted with things around us, but that we would put our focus on you and that we would open your word and read your word and apply it to our lives so that we can find the fulfillment and purpose that you have for each one of us. We pray, Father, that as your word was shared this morning, that we might not forget that you are coming again and that we are in the last days. And we pray that you might help us all to be faithful, help us to be true to truth, so that you can receive the honor and the glory and that your kingdom will bring more people into your kingdom. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.